This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's Halacha Shir. So, this is a part two. It's not connected per se to last week, but it's a continuation. We spoke about last week pets and halacha because of the pasuk in Parshas Bo'i last week, and last week we discussed owning a dog briefly. There's a fuller shir a few years ago we gave on that. We also discussed feeding pets. In other words, that the halacha is you've got to feed the pet before you eat. But when it comes to drinking, you can actually drink first. Is that a halacha? Is it midas chasidus? And then we discussed milk and meat, what you can actually feed your pet, because you can't get hanoi, you can't get benefit from basa v'cholov. And we discussed how that applies for animals which are not shechted, etc., etc., and feeding pets on Pesach. What we're going to discuss in this room tonight, in the short slot that we have, are two issues. Number one, which is a very common issue, for a vet, a big chunk of his working professional life is neutering a pet, neutering an animal. We know a fellow who's a frum vet. It's a very fine ben Torah, and that is his parnasa. He is a vet. It's always the mind boggles that I think it's even longer to become a vet than it is to become a doctor. And there's some overlap in what they study. But if you enjoy animals, you like animals, and that is the career he has chosen. And a big section of this career is removing the reproductive organs. That is a big chunk of a vet's job. Now, that has major halachic problems. The Shulchan Aruch Paskens, this is in the top box. If you're listening online, email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The Shulchan Aruch Paskens, also la hafsid evari hazera. You're not allowed to remove the reproductive organs, bein ba'odam, bein behema, of animals, or of human beings, or of animals. Behema chai v'oif, echot tmeh v'echot tahirim, whether it's kosher or non-kosher animals. V'chol ha'masaris, lokim min ha'torah, b'chol mokum. And this is an issa min ha'torah. The Shulchan Aruch says that this is the paskens, it's an issa min ha'torah. And the big discussion is whether non-Jewish people are included in this prohibition. That is debated in the Gemara, in the Rishonim. There's two opinions in the Gemara. The Gemara says on the Chor that it only applies, well, the first opinion of the Gemara is that it applies to non-Jewish people as well. The other opinion of the Gemara is, no, it only applies to Jewish people because the non-Jewish people have Shev Mitzvah, and this is not one of them. So there is debate exactly how you paskin. And that's it's a very big issue. And instructing a non-Jewish person would be an issa drabbanan, which is only allowed to alleviate the pain of an animal. So it's quite complicated whether you are or not allowed to instruct a non-Jewish person. There are poskim who say that you're allowed to sell the animal to a non-Jewish person, and if you sell the animal to a non-Jewish person, there are ways of instructing this non-Jewish person to neuter the animal. And there are ways of doing it, but it needs some halachic guidance about exactly how you go about it. So just to put it, sort of to flag it. Now the bigger issue is pets on Shabbos. Are they mukta? That is a major discussion. Ostensibly, and this is the sort of the traditional view, that pets do not have any utility on Shabbos. And something which does not have any utility on Shabbos is therefore mukta, and it's quite a high level of mukta. The Shulchan Aruch says also the taltal behema chayav va'oif. This is Narchayim Shinches, and the Mishnah Berurah explains the heim bichlal mukta ke'etzim va'avonim to halachazu. Just like stones and sticks have no utility on Shabbos and therefore a mukta, therefore they're considered mukta machmas gufay. And you can't touch them on Shabbos. And that is the strict view. And even if they have some utility, it needs to be very significant to remove the status of muksa machmas gufay. And there's a concept of lo plug rabbanon, etc., etc. However, there is a more lenient view. And that is that animals which are designated as pets, then you can touch them because that is what one does with a pet. If you have a cat, you have a dog, you stroke the animal, you hold it, you know, and that's just how you behave. So there is, in the original sources, There's a famous Tesis which says that he originally says Tesis that it, back in the day, it seems very foreign to us, but they would cut the head off a little chicken and they would give it to the kids to play with. Psik reisha v'layomus, that's where it comes from. Psik reisha means an inevitable consequence. So that's the background. Psik reisha, you cut the head off the chicken v'layomus and it won't die. So they would give, and again, the kids would pay with little animals. So there's discussion exactly what is the status of animals in terms of muksa on Shabbos. And like I say, there are different schools of thought. The more sort of strict view is that they have no utility and they're therefore muksa. But other poskim say they take a lenient view. If they're designated as pets, then you would be able to touch them. There's debate what Moshe Feinstein held. People have different views about what Moshe actually said. In Igros Moshe, he says they're muksa. But there are other sort of oral reports saying that if they're designated as pets, it could be different. So,
so what would a farmer do, for example, if he's allowed to eat his animals, right? He's not allowed to touch them?
So you've got those situations in Eretz Yisrael, so especially if they have other situations as well, for example, milking cows. And that's... So they have to invoke various halachic strategies, for example... Grammar, they have to invoke the fact that it's a tsar for the animal not to feed, and so these sort of issues come into play. If they have non-Jewish workers, you know, etc. But generally speaking, there are a host of issues regarding Shabbos, not just muksa, not just touching the animal, but your animal is also meant to be shoves, it's meant to be refraining from doing melacha. So the animal can't plow, it can't do other things, it's allowed to graze in the field, but it can't be worked. Even you're not working it, it can't be worked. It needs to also have a Shabbos. So you know, there are a host of issues there. You go to the kibbutzim where there are, you know, they deal with it. The from kibbutzim deal with it. Yeah. Okay. So as regards Muksa and Shabbos, two different schools of thought, a stricter view and a more lenient view, you can designate the pets, that takes away the Muksa status of it. Everyone agrees that if you're allowed to move the animal to alleviate its suffering, of Tzar Balechaim. Now, another issue is using a leash. Now, this is very interesting. I remember growing up as a kid here in Golders Green, you never saw animals, dogs on Shabbos. I remember the first time I saw it, it was like a shock. I saw a frum guy walking a dog. This is going back many years. And this was way before the Erev was even thought of, I think. And he was holding a leash and it just seemed very unusual. But the actual halach is, if you take a look in paragraph 5b, hamotzi behema v'humoish ba'afsar, if you're holding onto, you're taking a dog for a walk, and you're holding onto a leash, sorech lizoy shele yetzi rosh hachevel mitachas yodei tefach lamato, which basically means that the leash should not protrude by more than a tefach, approximately 3 inches, from the hand. In other words, if you're holding the dog, and there's a leash, you know, holding the dog, connecting you and the dog, the other side should not protrude too much, because otherwise it looks like you're carrying the leash as opposed to holding it. But if you're holding it correctly, that's one way of doing it. Just make sure you hold this and there's not too much hanging down. That's one aspect. And the second thing is, the Mechaber carries on and says that the leash should be reasonably taut, that it shouldn't droop down, that you should hold it quite taut, that it shouldn't be with sort of drooped down within 3 inches, the tefach of the ground, because if the leash hangs so close to the ground, it looks like the animal is wearing it unnecessarily, and there are other problems there. So long as you have those two criteria, that it doesn't droop out of the other side of your hand, and you're holding it quite taut, you're actually allowed to take a dog for a walk on Shabbos with a leash in a place where there's no Eruv. And that's exactly what I saw. The guy knew what he was doing. It was just a shock to my system. Now it seems, where I think in COVID in particular, it seems more Jewish families have, you know, and whilst I'm not a big fan of dogs or animals generally, when my kid won a goldfish in one of the fairs, it was an ultimatum. I basically had to tell, you know, the wife and the children that it's either me or the pet or the goldfish, and it was a close call. But Baruch Hashem, I stayed. But I'm not a big fan, but there are those who are, and I see from school, and I see just from other parents, that whilst they also may not be fans of having animals, for their kids, in today's world, they say for some kids, this is a lifesaver. And especially in COVID, you know, they're growing up and having companionship and taking them for walks, and it's hard for me to really sort of identify with. But for some of these kids, this is a very important feature of their lives. Anyway, so it's not for me to judge, But taking it in now, you know, if there's no Eruv, then there are ways of walking the dog in an acceptable way on Shabbos. Just two other quick issues. And the first is Seida, trapping an animal. Now, there is an Issa Deraisa, one of the 39 Melachos is Seida, which means you cannot trap an animal. And again, it's not like this is a whole shiur in itself. But, you know, the issue is always on sukkahs, can I take a cup and to trap the bee, etc., etc. So, in short, just as it, in terms of just pets and things like that, if the animal, if your pet is very well disciplined, then there's no real problem. It's not considered a wild animal that needs trapping, and therefore there's no real concern of seida. If the dog or the cat or whatever it may be is somewhat disobedient, then reattaching the leash is a problem, because that could be considered seida. So attaching a leash or closing it in a very confined place could be a problem of tzeda. It depends, again, if the animal is very well disciplined, is obedient or not. So just to bear that in mind. And the last thing, which is just an interesting one, some people have guide dogs, to help blind people get about. And the question is, what is the story with taking a guide dog to shul? Are you allowed to bring a kelev, a dog, into the shul? That is actually a machlokas haposkim. Rav Moshe and Rav Yosha ben Soloveitchik, they both allow it. And they say that bringing an animal into shul for a mundane purpose, that's not covered by Sakneses, that's not allowed. Interestingly, they quote a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach Gimel that the standard for permissible behavior in shul is what you would be permitted to do in your own home. Now, a guide dog at home, this is how he goes, how he gets about. And therefore, they're mutter a guide dog in shul, but as I say, it is a machlekes in poskim. So that is just a quick overview of pets and halacha last week and this week, covering some very interesting topics in terms of ownership of a dog, feeding the pet, when you feed it, what you feed it, Pesach, etc., etc. Removal of the reproductive organs is a halachic problem and ways of how to overcome that. And lastly, pets on Shabbos, like we just discussed, the question of whether they're mukta, using the leash, seder, etc., and guide dogs in shul. These are all things which one has to look into if one does own a pet. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.